We will be sending or spending most of our time this evening around this area. And I'll try to talk longer than 10 minutes so Garen stops making fun of my last lesson.
Garen, are you still sharing the screen with the song?
It's not there. Oh, okay.
But as always, I'd like to thank the elders for giving me this opportunity. And if I say anything outside the realm of Scripture or anything you disagree with, please feel free to take me aside and consult me about it. We can learn together, and I'm always looking to improve in any way I can. 2 Kings chapter 2. We're just going to read verses 8 through 12 to start out this evening. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted to the one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me," Elisha said. And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they went still on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. What kind of person is deemed by God not to die? Not just not to die, but to be taken from this earth to be in heaven with God. There's only one other individual in the Bible who we hear spoken of in this fashion, and that is Enoch in Genesis 5. And we know next to nothing about him. So tonight I want to spend some time learning five lessons from the life of Elijah. Five lessons that we as Christians can take not only into our own lives, but into the way we live as Christians. Because I think if we act and do as Elijah did, we also have this same chance to be in heaven with God just as he was taken to be. We have very little background on Elijah as he's introduced to us in 1 Kings chapter 17. If you'll turn with me over there, all we learn about him is that he's a Tishbite from Gilead. He's obviously a prophet of God because chapter 17 starts with him receiving a direct commandment from God. Let's start in verse 1. We'll read through verse 17 here. Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." And the word of the Lord came to him, "Depart from here, and turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook of Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook of Cherith that is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And after a while the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there, gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake and bring it to me, and afterwards something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day of the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill, and his illness was severe so that no breath was left in him. Right as we're introduced to Elijah, we learn the first lesson from his life, and that is total trust in God. If you reread chapter 17 and you really think about what's happening in your head, I want you to think about how utterly insane what Elijah's asked to do sounds. He's just told the king that there's going to be a drought on the land. There's going to be no food. The water's all going to go away. And God says, don't worry, the birds are going to bring food to you. That sounds a lot like something out of a Disney movie. Like, that blows my mind to think about that. But Elijah doesn't question it. He goes and he lives by the brook, and he has the birds bring food to him. And then once the brook dries up, God says, don't worry, a widow who is destitute is going to feed you for the rest of this famine. And yet again, Elijah doesn't question the Lord. And as Christians, this is our first takeaway from the life of Elijah. In times of trial, when it feels like what we must do is utterly impossible, we have to trust in God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we'll read verses 25 through 34. As Jesus is presenting this Sermon on the Mount, as it's often called, towards the end of this part of the sermon, he talks about trusting in the Lord. And in verse 25, he says to them, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. No matter how crazy the request God gave to Elijah sounded, or how ridden with failure it might have seemed, and no matter how desperate the time may have been, Elijah trusted in God. And I think a lot of times what God asks us to do as Christians in today's world can seem incredibly illogical. It can seem difficult. It can seem odd. In a selfish, greedy world, we're told to be generous and give freely to the poor. In a world fueled by hate, anger, and envy, we're told to love our enemies and those who persecute us. In a place full of strife, suffering, and hardship, we are required to trust that God will provide what we need. Long story short, God provided for Elijah. God will also provide for us if we can trust in Him. After 3 years of drought, the Lord tells Elijah to tell King Ahab that the rain will come again. The drought is ended. If we turn back to 1 Kings and move to chapter 18, we're going to start in verse 17. And this is the very popular story about Elijah on top of Mount Carmel, confronting the prophets of Baal. And in verse 17, we're going to start out there. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, is it you, O troubler of Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to meet me at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Then Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I, even I only, am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. I want you to take a second to picture this scene in your head as we learn our second lesson from Elijah. On one side, Ahab and 450 fanatic prophets of Baal stand around their altar with the people of Israel loyal to them. And on the other side, by himself, Elijah stands. Let's pick up again verse 23, and we're going to read most of this story going down through verse 40. Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. And I will prepare the other bull, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire to it. And you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And the people said, it is well spoken. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many. And call upon the name of your God and put no fire to it. They took the bull that was given to them, they prepared it, and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. They limped around the altar they had made. And at noon Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing or relieving himself or on a journey. Or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened. They cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. And all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be your name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood. And he said, fill 4 jars with water, and pour it on the burnt offering on the wood. He said, do it a second time, and they did it. And he said, do it a third time, and they did it. And the water ran around the altar and filled the trench. And at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Elijah had courage. This is the second lesson we learn from Elijah's life. He was the only person on Mount Carmel who was loyal to the Lord. Even though Israel was persuaded back to the Lord at the end of this story, they were fully supporting Baal before this happened. There was a reason Baal was so prominent in the land. And Elijah, in the face of a king, in the face of his compatriots, and in the face of fanatics, stood firm for the Lord. He not only trusted in God, but he was not afraid to stand up for God, no matter how many enemies were before him. Let's turn to Psalms 27. This is a short psalm that I just want to read through for us very quickly. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tents and lift me high upon a rock. My head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not away your servant in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me off not. Forsake me not. O God of my salvation, for my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for the false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe violence. I believe I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. We are guaranteed to suffer persecution as Christians. We will be ridiculed, scoffed at, discriminated against, and at times even hated. To be a Christian is one of the most difficult paths we can walk on this earth. Narrow is the way, and few there are that find it. But through God, we find the courage we need to go on as Christians. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, as Paul is writing to Timothy, starting in verse 6, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, which now has been made manifest through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me." God will never fail us. And that is why we not only trust in him, but we find courage in him as Elijah did. Through God, we can be confident because we are guaranteed eternal life and a family in Christ if we serve him faithfully. Paul, despite being in prison, was not ashamed to pronounce the gospel because he was confident in what the Lord had given him. Let's go back to 1 Kings. In chapter 19, the drought has left the land, and Elijah is being persecuted by those who he humiliated on Mount Carmel. In chapter 19, we're going to see both our third and fourth lessons that we learned from Elijah. So let's learn the third one, starting in verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came down and sat under a broom tree. He asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." He lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and says, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." Then he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. Then he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Elijah has trusted in God faithfully. He has seen his incredible works, and now he runs and hides in fear. Our third lesson is that Elijah wasn't perfect. Even after all the great works and blessing and protection and care the Lord had given to him that Elijah had witnessed, he still became afraid and ran and hid when danger approached. Elijah was not a perfect man, and neither are we. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we all know it well. It tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We will all sin. Elijah, one of the greatest prophets for the Lord, stumbled and fell in this instance. He did not trust in God to keep him safe as God had done previously. Instead, he ran and hid. And we will all stumble and fall in our own ways. Do we strive to live a life free of sin? Of course we do. But we are also told that we will at times fail. But this is where the fourth lesson we can learn from Elijah comes in. Let's continue our reading in 1 Kings 19 and verse 11. And the Lord said, "Go and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah you shall appoint a prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death." "Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." The fourth lesson from Elijah's life is that God is greater than our weakness. We will stumble and fall, but God obliterates our transgressions and gives us the tools to fix ourselves. God saw Elijah's fear and gave him safety. God sees our sins and gives us forgiveness. Isaiah chapter 43, Mr. Guerin has brought this up in lessons before, and I love the wording of this passage. In Isaiah 43, verse 25, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put in remembrance, let us argue together, set forth your case, that you may be proved right. God gives us what we need to fight against sin. This church family we have, the scriptures, prayer, all of these are provided by God to overcome our own weakness. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 21 say, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory He may grant you be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." The secret to overcoming our trials is not to pretend that we never sin, that we're not afraid, that we don't mess up, but to recognize our sin and allow God to help us overcome it. Finally, we're going to finish up in 2 Kings chapter 2, where we started our study this evening. We're just going to read the first couple of verses. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." And Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elijah and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep it quiet." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know today the Lord takes your master from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep it quiet." And Elisha said, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you," Elisha said. So the two of them went on. Elijah constantly went where the Lord sent him. This is our fifth and final lesson from the life of Elijah. Elijah was taken to heaven because he did what God commanded him to do. Despite Elijah failing, despite Elijah not having trust in God at times, the reason Elijah was allowed to be in heaven with the Lord is because he always did as God commanded. When God needed Elijah to trust him, Elijah did. When God needed Elijah to stand for what was right, Elijah stood down an entire nation. When Elijah stumbled, he turned to God for strength and took God's help. As Christians, we can also go to heaven. We are promised salvation if we but do what God commands us. Let's turn back to Matthew, just chapter 22. Verses 36 through 40. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and all of the prophets." I hate to burst anyone's bubble, but we're not going to get to heaven by just being perfect and all of a sudden we end up in heaven. None of us are perfect. And you won't find a passage that specifically demands us to never sin, because God understands that we will sin. But we find many that require repentance. 1 John chapter 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life that was made manifest, and we have seen it, and to testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and the Word is not in us." Five lessons from Elijah's life. Five things that allowed Elijah to be taken into heaven with the Lord. If we as Christians trust in God, are confident in His Word, admit our imperfections, lean on His strength, and finally do His will, then we too are given the promise of eternal salvation with God. If you failed to live as Elijah did, it's still not too late for you. Psalm 103. Starting in verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He who forgives all your iniquity and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfy you with good, so that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." God will always welcome you in if you will but reach out for His forgiveness. Maybe you've strayed as a Christian. You've lost one of the aspects of obedience. You're not just failing to live as Elijah. You're not living as a person of God in any way whatsoever. You need to return to God. We are here and we can help you with that. Maybe you aren't a Christian, but you're still deep in sin. Just as Ananias told Paul in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, "Why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name." If we can help you in any way, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.
How sweet will be the welcome home.